Okay, our topic today, very relevant for this time of year. Shiva Sarba Tammuz coming upon us, and 3 weeks later is Tisha B'Av, is the potential prohibition of taking haircuts and shaving during the 3 weeks. Why is that relevant? Because there are indeed workplaces, possibly even today, but certainly when I was working, when I started working at a very white shoe law firm, that was very ill-advised to come even with 1 day of growth. This was in the 1990s when we used to wear suits and ties, so kind of like it was Shabbos every day. So that was the normal dress when I was working, and everyone would come clean-shaven. So the question is there a prohibition during the 3 weeks, from Shiva Sarba Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, the 9 days getting stricter in the Avelus, Shavuot Shachal Bo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls in Tisha B'Av itself. So I got an email from somebody a while back. He says, I have a business meeting on Monday, a few hours before Tisha B'Av. I was wondering if there is a leniency for me to trim my beard, not shave it completely, but to trim it for the meeting. So that is going to be one of the issues that we will indeed be covering. So just a little bit background of the time of the year that we are about to start. The Mishnah in Tainus tells us that there were five tragedies that befell Klal Yisrael on Shiva Sarba Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, and another five that unfortunately befell Klal Yisrael on the 9th of Av. And the Mishnah lists them. I'll just mention a couple of them. When it comes to Shiva Sarba Tammuz, the first one mentioned is the breaking of the Luchos, breaking of the Ten Tablets as a result by Moshe Rabbeinu, as a result of the Chet HaEgel. So that is one of the five that befell Klal Yisrael and Shiva Sarba Tammuz. And when it comes to Tisha B'Av, the first listed in the Mishnah is that Klal Yisrael would not go into Eretz Yisrael. That was the decree, the door that the generation that came out of Egypt had to stay for 40 years and die out in the desert before Klal Yisrael could enter Eretz Yisrael. So that's number one. Number two and number three listed are the destruction of the two temples. So that is going to be Tisha B'Av. So five tragedies on Shiva Sarba Tammuz, five on Tisha B'Av. The time period between those is called Bein HaMetzarim. Between the tragedies, there are different explanations of what Bein HaMetzarim are, but between the tragedies, that is the time that we are going to be, that we are approaching right now. So there are many, numerous minhagim, halachos that relate to this time period. This is a chart. I can send it around so everyone can look at the complexity. And on the right side here, it's listed all the potential prohibitions, things that should not be done, should be avoided, business during this time of year, business for making money, business for simcha, building for simcha, beautifying your house, planting a beautiful garden, buying a new car, is it for business, is it for pleasure, a whole list. A whole litany, it must be like 20-something things written, and then going across, we have the opinion of the Sfaradim, the Ashkenazim, the opinion of the Ramah, Rav Avadya Yosef, the Ben Ish Chai, and there's a lot of machlokas in that. So we're not going to cover everything, obviously, just to pass it around, just to get a sense of how complicated the sugyas, the different halachot and minhagim during this time of year. We're going to focus, for the most part, on shaving, haircuts during the 3 weeks between Shiva Sarba Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. We will also leverage some of the other prohibitions, for example, laundering clothing, but ultimately we're focusing on taking haircuts and shaving during this time. So as I mentioned before, there are different time periods here, the longest one being the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks that goes from the first fast to the second fast, from Shiva Sarba Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. And in those 3 week period is a stricter period of Avelus, is a stricter period of mourning called the 9 days. The 9 days goes from Rosh Chodesh Av, the first day of Av, until Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. That's why it's called the 9 days. From the first to the ninth, it's called the 9 days. Increasing in severity is Shavua Shechalbo. That is the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, and we'll get into that a little bit more. And the most strict Abelus is going to be Tisha B'Av itself, but then we'll also have to talk about the day after Tisha B'Av. So, Amir Tashem, we will get into all of that. So, the source for not taking haircuts, not shaving, is a Mishnah in Tainus. It says as follows, Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't mean Sabbath here, it means the week. The week Shechal Tisha B'Av, Lios Besocha, the week that Tisha B'Av falls in it, Asur melesaper umelechabes. The Mishnah says it's prohibited to melesaper, means tispora, to take a haircut. The poskim explained that that includes not only haircut but shaving as well. So melesaper tispora is a haircut, and also melechabes kfisa is doing laundry. So both of those are included. And in the Mishnah, very important, those two prohibitions are limited to Shavua Shachalbo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls into. Now, the Gemara brings different opinions on this. Maybe it's a longer time period, shorter time period that the prohibitions apply. But the Gemara paskins as follows. The prohibition is Shavua Shachalbo, which is from Shabbos until Tisha B'Av, and it ends at the end of Tisha B'Av. That's the prohibition for taking haircuts, for doing laundry, Shavua Shachalbo. That is until the fast and until the ninth of Av ends. That is when the prohibition ends. That's based on the Mishnah. We will get back to this point in a little bit. Why is there a prohibition to take haircuts, to shave, to do laundry? So the Bach explains as follows. Very interesting. He says, "Mipneishu melacha letzorach tanugei aguf." When we are shaving, when we are taking a haircut, we're worrying about our material, our physical comfort. Shebazim marim ketzas avelus. But if when we don't do those, that is a sign of avelus. That is a sign that we are in mourning. For example, when a father or mother pass away, lo aleinu, part of the prohibitions during Shiva and also continuing Shloshim is to not take a haircut, to not shave. Also, they don't, avelim don't change their clothes during the Shiva. That is a sign of avelus. So if we are indeed taking haircuts, shaving, doing our laundry, it shows that we're not as concerned about the avelus, the mourning on the Chorban and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we have to show, we have to act that way, that we are in mourning, just like over a parent. We have to show the signs of mourning, we have to be involved in mourning and not be distracted by our material comfort. And two of the ways is not doing our laundry and also not taking haircuts and shaving. So this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is written by Rabbi Yosef Cairo for everyone, but if there's a difference between Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Ramah, Sfaradim paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, and Ashkenazim paskin like Rav Moshe Isserles for the Ashkenazim, like the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows: Shavua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av, of the week that Tisha B'Av falls in, Asurim Lesaper Lechabes. It's absolutely prohibited to take a haircut and to do our laundry. So when I started with that initial question from David, who is from Sephardic descent, can he take a haircut? Can he trim his beard a little bit before Tisha B'Av, a few hours for a business meeting? The Shulchan Aruch would paskin?
No.
Prohibited. Prohibited. It's clear. Prohibited. You cannot take a haircut or shave during Shavua Shechalba. Continuing, the Ben Ishchai, Sfaradi or Ashkenazi? Sfaradi says also there are in fact some Sfaradim that are machmir on this. Even though the Mishnah limits the prohibition of haircuts, shaving, laundry to Shavua Shechalba, and the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is limited just like the Mishnah, but he says that there are indeed some Sfaradim that extend it all the way from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz for the entire 3-week period. That is enough. So there, when it comes to Sfaradim, there are different minhagim, even though the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch only Shavua Shechalba, there are some Sfaradim who are machmir for the 9 days, and some extend it all the way to the 3 weeks. But the Iker Psak for Sfaradim is like the Shulchan Aruch, that it is limited, the prohibition is limited to Shavua Shechalba. Comes along the Ramah and says as follows, V'nohagim lahachmir mitchilas Rosh Chodesh li'inyan kivus. When it comes to doing laundry, we are machmir from Rosh Chodesh. We are machmir for the entire 9-day period, says the Ramah. This is how Ashkenazim are noheg. So when it comes to laundry, we do laundry before the 9 days. We do not do laundry before the 9 days. I wasn't going to get into this, but I'll just mention we also do not wear cleanly laundered clothing, even though it was laundered before the 9 days. So what we would do is we would wear the clothing, certainly the outer garments, shirts, pants, jackets, sweaters, whatever it may be. We would wear those for a short amount of time, an hour, for example, before the 9 days begin, and for Sfaradim, before Shavua Shechalbo begins, in order that that clothing is not freshly laundered in a jam. Some people leave it on the floor for a number of hours. It's good when you have kids, please God, that if you don't have time in a jam, give it to your kids, and your kids wear it, and that is for sure going to make the clothing not look cleanly laundered. So that is indeed a good solution. So says the Rama, when it comes to washing of clothing, that is the entire 9 days. And then he continues, Aval b'tispores, nohagim lahachmir mishiva sarbatamas. When it comes to getting haircuts and shaving as well, we are nohig that way for the entire 3 week period. Okay, everyone with me? Ashkenazim are machmir when it comes to laundry, 9 days. When it comes to haircuts, the entire 3 week period. So, why the difference between laundry and haircuts? Why in the Ramah is laundry prohibited for the 9 days, and when it comes to haircuts, the entire 3 week period? So, the Orach HaShulchan, who is a contemporary of the Mishnah Brura, an Ashkenazi Posek, one of the Gedolei Ador, to me, one of the Gedolei Hadoros, one of the greatest poskim ever, says as follows, the Tisporis Eino Shchiach Kekibus. When it comes to taking a haircut, we do not take haircuts as often as we do laundry. So in other words, what he's saying is to be recognized that we are not taking haircuts, it's going to take longer than 9 days, or that we're not shaving, it's going to take longer than 9 days. You go 9 days without a haircut, without shaving, people aren't going to notice it at all. When it comes to laundry, because it's done more often, then people recognize you're not wearing cleanly laundered clothing. But a haircut, he says, that's why we wait the full 3 weeks, because we should see the signs of the avelus. We should see the signs of the warning, and that could take the entire 3 week period. So, in fact, that is the Ashkenazi practice. I'll just tell a real quick story. I have a friend in Los Angeles who is being interviewed for national television, and it was during the 3 weeks, during the 3 week period, and he's wearing his yarmulke, and he's looking fairly scruffy at this point. And he asked the shail of Rav Gershon Bess, can I shave? I'm worried being on national television, I'm going to look like a mess, and that is not the proper way to portray Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Bess said, it's best to not shave. It's best not to do it, even though it's a minhag during the 3 weeks. We're not talking about Shavuot Shechalbo, but it's only a minhag, but it's a very strong minhag. So Rabbi Bess paskins, he should not shave. And then in the end of the day, the interview was canceled anyway. So he wound up not shaving and not having the interview. I just want to mention a detail, but an important detail, not so much this year, but in other years, because this year with Shiva Sarbatamos is actually this Shabbos. So we're going to start right after Shabbos. And Tisha B'Av is on the 3 weeks later on Shabbos, but it's pushed off to Sunday. So Shiva Sarbatamos, when it falls on Shabbos, you push the fast day to Sunday. When Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, you push it off to the next day. So we're going to be starting the 3 weeks right after Shabbos, right? So we're not going to do laundry for Tisha B'Av, actually on the other end, for Sfaradim. We'll get into that. So let me not get ahead, because it's a little complicated if we have Shavuot Shechalbo this year, because if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, where is the week then? You have to go from Shabbos straight to Shittah. So in a normal year, we'll talk about, so when do the 9 days begin? Actually, this is going to be normal for us also during, when does Rosh Chodesh fall out this year? What day of the week? Anyone know?
Friday?
Okay, so the question then is, so it starts Thursday night. When do we start the 9 days? When does it start? Does it start Thursday night at Shkia? Does it start Thursday night at Seis? Shkia is when the sun sets. Does it start when the stars come out? Or do we start maybe in the morning, Friday morning? So the poskim say either Shkia or at Seis, one or the other. So it's going to start Thursday evening, 9 days. The 9 days are going to start at the beginning of Rosh Chodesh. How about the 3 weeks on a normal year? This year it's not relevant, but the 3 weeks starting at the beginning of Shiva Sarbatamos, we don't start fasting till Alos HaShachar, till early morning. So when do we start noheg, not getting haircuts, not getting shaved, etc.? So it's a machlokas in the postgame, either at night before, the night before of Shiva Sarbatamos, even though the fast only starts in the morning, but the minhagim of Avelus to start in the night or the morning, it's a machlokas. We are noheg to start the night before at Seis HaKochavim, at nightfall, at when the stars come out. Okay, so that's just to mention that. So we've mentioned now that there are many time periods when it comes to cutting of hair. We're going for the entire 3 weeks for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. The Psak is Shavua Shechalbo. So shaving and haircut Shavua Shechalbo, unless your minhag is to go longer. Some Sfaradim will take on the Ashkenazic practice as well. How about at the end? When do we end the minhagim of Avelus? So There's a and the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is as follows: La'achar atayin is after Tisha B'Av ends, mutar lesaber lechaves miyad, is permitted to do your laundry and get haircuts and shave immediately. So that means right after Tisha B'Av ends, the ninth of Av is ended, we are permitted right then to go take a haircut. The barber can be at the shul waiting. People come out of the shul and he can start giving haircuts and shaves, and you can throw your laundry into the machine. Nonetheless, despite that, that is not the minhag. There's an important gemara, it's a famous gemara in Tainus, that says that when the during the Bayis Rishon, when the Babylonians entered to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they ransacked it on the 7th of Av, and they continued desecrating it, partying in the Beis HaMikdash on the 7th and the 8th, and they lit the fire to burn down the Beis HaMikdash on the 9th, towards the end of the night. So the burning of the Beis HaMikdash only started on Tisha B'Av, towards the end of Tisha B'Av, and the main burning of the Beis HaMikdash was, Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, was on the 10th of Av. And on that Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, Imale Hagisi Ba'osar, had I lived in the generation that Chazal established that Tisha B'Av was on the 9th of Av, the fast was on the 9th of Av, he says, Lo kabati vela ba'asiri, I would have established it not on the 9th, but on the 10th. Mipnei shirubo shel heichal bon Yisrael, because the majority of the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash was burned on the 10th, not on the 9th. So the Gemara explains, so why did Chazal institute it on the 9th? And most of the burning happened on the 10th. So the Gemara explains as follows, Adchalta de puranusa adifa, Chazal preferred to set up the fast when the burning began, when the tragedy began, which was on the 9th, and accordingly they went by when the tragedy began, not when most of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash happened. But we see the important yesod here that it wasn't as if the problems, the tragedy ended at the end of the 9th and continued and even increased into the 10th. So accordingly, the Shulchan Aruch, despite the fact that saying Mi'ikar Adin, we're allowed to do our laundry, we're allowed to get haircuts and shave right at the end of the fast, but as soon as the fast ends, we can go for it. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch paskes as follows, Umibnei Kach, because of the burning, the majority of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash happened on the 10th. Min Hag Kasher, it's an appropriate, proper minhag, shalol echol basar, to not eat meat, v'shalol ishtos yayin, and not to drink wine on the 10th at night. In other words, after the 9th ends, begins the 10th and the entire day of the 10th of Av. And he doesn't mean only eating meat and having wine. Meat and wine are the halachas for Sfaradim, the entire Shavu Shachalbo. They don't eat meat, they don't drink wine. Ashkenazim or Machmir, the entire 9 days, except on Shabbos, we don't have meat, we don't have wine. So the Mishnah Berurah clarifies this. It says the same thing applies not only for eating meat and eating and having wine, but showering, taking haircuts, doing our laundry, that Sfaradim would be machmir the entire day of the 10th. The entire day of the 10th is the minhag to be machmir on the minhagim of Avelus. And for Ashkenazim, the Rama says as follows, V'yesh machmirim, Ad chatzos hayom v'lo yoser. When it comes to Ashkenazim, we are machmir until chatzos hayom. Chatzos is not 12 noon, it's midpoint of the day. So chatzos, you calibrate it between either sunrise and sunset, or alos ha-shachar and tzeis ha-kochavim, midpoint of the day. In Israel, it's approximately 1 in the afternoon. I know Los Angeles, it's approximately 1 in the afternoon. I remember looking, when's chatzos is the time you can start sitting on a regular chair. So I always look, when is chatzos? So it's 1 minute to one, 2 minutes to one, something like that. That's how it always, in Israel, is fairly similar, zmanim, to when I used to live in Los Angeles. So when it comes to the end, when it comes to the end of the fast ends, the minhag is to extend the minhagim of the Avelus for Sfaradim. Here, on the end of the fast, after the fast, Sfaradim were more machmir than Ashkenazim. Coming into it, Ashkenazim or Machmir than Sfaradim. Ending now, but Ashkenazim or Machmir for a lot more time before Shavuot Shechalbo, either the 9 days or the 3 weeks, and Sfaradim or Machmir the entire 10th, and Ashkenazim or simply until Chatzos of the 10th. Sam? We'll get to it in a little bit. Hold the question. Good question. We'll need to get it. Same question. Okay, so actually we'll get into it very shortly. Just, yeah, Jacob. We'll get back into it, but it's the same thing. It's haircuts and shaving are treated the same. But we'll see, maybe we have Heterim. Okay, so we'll get to it. Okay, so before I get to what happens when, this year, when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, so how do we deal with all of these issues, and how do we deal with Shavua Shechal Bo? We'll get into that in a second. Just one other point is, how about when Tisha B'Av falls on a Thursday? So when Tisha B'Av falls on a Thursday, if we said that Sfaradim, their machmir, are not shaving, haircuts, and not showering all the way till the end of the 10th, the 10th is Shabbos. It can lead you into Shabbos because the 10th is Friday, and the 11th is, so you wouldn't be able to shave and shower and get haircuts to cover Shabbos. So indeed, in that scenario, when Tisha B'Av falls on Thursday, we are lenient that you're permitted from morning to shower and shave and to do kfisa, to do laundry, etc., etc. There's a lot of machlokas in this, whether you have to do it specifically for the tzorech of the Kavod Shabbos. Am I just doing it or the Kavod Shabbos? When are we matir or not? There's a lot of machlokas in the postgame. Let's put that aside. Let's get to our question about when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, like this year. Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, and it is pushed off to Sunday. So says the Raman Shulchan Aruch as follows, Im chal Tisha B'Av b'Shabbos, v'nidche l'yom rishon. So when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos and is pushed off to Sunday, he says, Mutar le'echol basar v'yayin yom bet. It's permitted to have meat, eat meat, drink wine on Monday. When does Monday start? Right at the end of the fast, because the fast is Sunday. Shkia, tseis ha-kochavim. We end the fast, now it's Monday. But he says, Mi'ikar adin, why? What Monday is what date? What calendar date? If the 11th, because we Tisha B'Av is Sunday, is Shabbos. We push Tisha B'Av off, not the fast of Tisha B'Av. We don't push off the 9th of Av. We push off the fast of Tisha B'Av to the 10th, which is Sunday. Comes the end of the fast, Sunday night is the 11th. So if the whole concept of extending the minhagim of the Avelus to the 10th was because why? Because the Beis HaMikdash continued to burn, but now it's the 11th. So he says as follows, Mutar le'echol basar v'yayin yom bet, it's permitted to have meat, to have wine, on Monday, aval b'layla, but nonetheless, he says that night, Sunday night for us, which is the beginning of Monday, halachically, Sunday night, also mibnei avelus shalyom. Because we were in avelus in the daytime, we continue that avelus into the nighttime for purposes of eating meat and drinking wine. We won't have a breakfast in the yeshiva with wine and meat. That's not going to happen. Yeah. And that's a whole discussion when it comes to Havdalah. Do we have a kid drink it? If you don't have a kid, can you drink it yourself? So that's a whole sugya that I wasn't going to get into. Some people use beer instead of it, Chamar Medina. So there are different solutions with that. So it's a very good point. Okay, continuing. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, Aval B'Layla Asur, Hainu Rak B'Achilas Basar Shtiyas Yam. When it comes to the fast, ended on Sunday, right? The fast ended Sunday night, that the Ramah said that we have to continue that night, not having meat and wine. That's just that night, meat and wine. However, b'tispores, when it comes to getting a haircut and taking a shave, it's mutar l'kuliyama, it's permitted, according to all opinions, Sunday night after the fast ends. It is permitted because this is now the 11th. Okay. Okay, so continuing. This is a massively important question. When Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, whether it fell on Shabbos and was pushed off to Sunday or it falls on Sunday, so we said that the halachas, specifically for Sfaradim, apply during Shavua Shechalba. For example, we mentioned a number of the minhagim when it comes to showering. We just mentioned here, we mentioned when it comes to laundering or taking haircuts or meat and wine, that for Sfaradim is during Shavua Shechalba. Typically, if Tisha B'Av is during a weekday, leave aside Sunday, we know what Shavua Shechalba means. It's the week that Tisha B'Av falls. It's from the prior Shabbos, and it goes up to Tisha B'Av, and that's Shavua Shechalba, and then we continue the Minhagim of Avelus into the 10th as well, but then it ends. But how about now that it's on Sunday, is there a Shavua Shechalba? Right, it goes from Shabbos to Sunday, or do you have to keep the week prior as Shavua Shechalba? That's our question right now. Very relevant for Sephardim. It does have some nafkaminas for Ashkenazim as well. Things that are limited to Shavua Shechalba. We will see one in a little bit when it comes to getting a haircut for purposes of working. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows: Vimchal Tisha B'Av b'Yom Rishon or b'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls on Yom Rishon, which is Sunday, or it falls on Shabbos, and it's pushed off to Sunday. That's what we have this year. Mutar b'shtei ha-shabbatos. It is permitted during both weeks. What does it mean by that, the Shulchan Aruch? So it means that there's no Shavua Shechal Bo, either the prior week, right? Sunday, again, is when we're keeping Tisha B'Av, whether it's the 9th of Av or the 10th of Av, if it's on Sunday. There's no Shavua Shechal Bo in the prior week, and there's no Shavua Shechal Bo, there's no Avel is continuing in that week. Bein Shekodem Atanis, Bein Sheacharav. He says, whether before or afterwards, he's saying that indeed there is no Shavua Shechal Bo. So it comes out based on that, and there's a machlokas as well in this, but nonetheless, the Minhag Sfaradim, the Ben Ish Chai and the Kaf HaChaim say we can paskin like this Shulchan Aruch, that indeed there would be basically no Minhagim of Avelus for Sfaradim in a year like this, because there's no Shavua Shechal Bo. Ashkenazim, this is mostly theoretical, because we keep not Shavua Shechal Bo, because we've extended the Minhagim to the 9 days. So it's neither here nor there, but what we will have to see is if we have a heter for shaving, and that's going to be our next question for purposes of work, maybe it does have a ramification, because as remember, we started with the original Mishnah. The original Mishnah in the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that the Ikar prohibition for shaving and haircuts is Shavua Shechal Bo. So if we have a business need, we may have a financial loss, for example. If we're going to be lenient, maybe this does have a ramification also for Ashkenazim. If there's no Shavua Shechal Bo, maybe an Ashkenazi, when he has needs, we would permit him to shave during the 3 weeks, maybe even during the 9 days, but there's going to be no heter to shave or get a haircut during Shavua Shechal Bo. In a year like this, if there's no Shavua Shechal Bo, then an Ashkenazi can be lenient also, possibly. So that's our next question then. If there is a need for work purposes. So I remember when I was working, and when I started out, there wasn't such a thing as these casual work environments at the larger investment banks and the larger law firms and the larger accounting firms. Everyone was going to work dressed for Shabbos, right? Everyone was wearing suits and ties, and no one had a beard. There was one guy who had a beard, actually. His name was Shlomo, and Shlomo was the exception at the law firm that I worked at. A tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had been learning in Kolo for many years. He had 9 children, and then he said, I need to earn a Parnassa. So he went to Columbia Law School, never went to college, but he aced the LSATs, brilliant guy. And he went to Columbia Law School, and he was able to get a job because he was a brilliant man in the tax department there. So he was the one person I remember that had a beard and looked like a Rosh Yeshiva, but otherwise, it was basically a Yerev Valyavor to come and to have even stubble at the law firm. So I remember every year being a little bit of a panic, knowing, oh, the 3 weeks are coming. I have a problem. When is Shavua Shechal Bo? When are the 9 days? Do I have a heter to shave up to the 9 days? How about up to Shavua Shechal Bo? So the Igros Moshe says as follows. Rav Moshe has 3 tshuvas on this. We'll go through 2 of them quickly. They're very short. The third one is long, but it's not less relevant as analysis to our question. So he says as follows, Hinei echad osek be'eze mischar l'malacha. Somebody's involved in business, has some occupation for a parnasa, shim lo yistaper et zikano, that if he doesn't shave his beard, right? He's not talking about taking a haircut. We can go 3 weeks without taking a haircut and no one will notice. Get one right before the 3 weeks and get one right after the 3 weeks. Or, you know, you can go 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Different people are different. That's not a problem. But how about trimming that beard or shaving? Bimea Sfira. He's talking about Sfira Saomer. We're not going to talk about that in detail now. Ubiyamim Sheben Shiva Sarbatamus Latisha B'Av. And the time, the 3 weeks between Shiva Sarbatamus and Tisha B'Av. Yelo hefsed mamon, in this situation, he would have a financial loss. What would be a financial loss? He would lose a deal. He would maybe not get a promotion. He may not get the best work because he looked at as a pariah. This doesn't exist much nowadays, I will tell you that. You can almost in any workplace nowadays get away with having a scraggly beard and looking, having some stubble, and they're not going to look once, twice, or 3 times at you. But back then, this was a massive shaila. So he says, you may have a financial loss. You may not get the promotion. They're going to look at you as strange. As mutar, if that's the situation, if there would be a financial loss, it would be permitted to shave. Ki lo na'agu b'makom hasa, because we are not noheg if it's a financial loss. So if somebody would incur a financial loss, we can be lenient and shave during the 3 weeks. Aval b'shavua shechalbo tisha b'av. However, during shavua shechalbo, that's the key, when shavua shechalbo, the week that Tisha B'av falls out, she'asr midina de Gemara, that the Gemara itself says it's prohibited. It's a Mishnah that says it's prohibited, and this is how the Gemara paskins, ein lahatir, we cannot be matir, even if it's going to be a financial loss to the person. So indeed, we see here, based on this Rav Moshe, that we can be lenient. If it will be a financial loss, we believe reasonably there would be a financial loss by not shaving, we can be lenient, but there is no heter during Shavua Shechalbo. So in this year, no Shavua Shechalbo, based on the Shulchan Aruch, it wouldn't be an issue. If there would be a financial loss, you would be permitted to shave all the way up to effectively Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is on Sunday. You could shave all the way up to Shabbos. You have Shabbos and Sunday, and then it's not a problem. We just keep on going through Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe then has the second tshuva, and he says as follows, v'im hu rak bishvil shiyal'igu alav. If you're just concerned that they'll make fun of you, meaning maybe I'll look strange, people are going to make comments, they're going to jab at me, but I'm not going to have a financial loss, it's not going to hit the pocketbook, then that's not permitted. So he says, but you're not going to have a financial loss, then it is prohibited. Then it is asur to shave. So it happens to be many times that we are concerned, overly concerned. We think we're going to not get the promotion, we're not going to get the best work, but really, we are being overly strict on our, we're overly nervous about things, we have anxiety over these things, but it's not based in reality. So when I was reviewing this topic, again, I started thinking, you know, when I was in the law firm, I used to shave up until the 9 days, and also when I was in the law firm, I think I even shaved up until Shavua Shechalbo back then. So I'm thinking, was that right or was that wrong? Like, did I have a real basis for concern that I could have a financial loss? I may not get the better work, I may not get the promotion, whatever it may be, or was it simply people would look at me askance, but it would have no impact? So I sent emails to two people that I used to work with. One was a little bit older than me, and now he has his own law firm. And I said, back then, do you think it would really negatively, financially impact you? And how are things nowadays? Right? Nowadays, compared, this is 20, 30 years ago compared to nowadays, what's the difference? So he said, can you speak now? It was easier to speak on the phone. So I spoke with him on the phone, and he says, you know, nowadays, people really aren't looking. Nowadays, you can go with scrubble, people really don't care. But back then, he says, he wasn't sure. Maybe it just people would look at you as if you're strange, but it wouldn't have an impact. Maybe it would. He wasn't sure exactly. So I sent the second person I sent the email to was my boss at the time. From Drew with Smicha, he now happens to be the chairman of the law firm. So, this is a law firm of a very non-Jewish firm. And I sent him the same two questions. I said, 20, 30 years ago, somebody comes in unshaven, would that negatively impact him? Would that be a hefsed mamon? And I defined what a hefsed mamon is, that you won't get the promotion, that you won't get to work with people. And nowadays, what's the situation? So he responded, I think the longest email I've ever gotten from him. And he says he thinks that 20, 30 years ago, it would have been a hefsed mamon. He thinks that it was so strict back then that people would absolutely not show up to work with any stubble that indeed it could negatively impact. I was very interested by that because he was a senior partner back then. Now he's running the firm. And he really had insights into what the impact would be. And he says, yes, back then it would have had a financial impact. It certainly could have had a financial impact on somebody. Because anyone who looks a little bit different back then, it was very white shoe. You fit in with the mold. And anyone does a little bit different, you look a little bit different. You dress a little bit different. Your tie is pink. Whatever it is, it's a little bit different. You're going to stick out. It could have an impact. But he said, nowadays, hutrula. Nowadays, he didn't think there would be any problem. He just finished sitting shiva over his father, and he said he went 30 days shloshim with the beard, and people asked a little bit. It's not going to hurt his parnassah. He's running the place, but he said, like, at least he had an insight over what the impact would be. And you know, people asked, they questioned what's with this and that, but he didn't think nowadays. Now the big change happened in the end of the 1990s, early 2000s, with the .com boom. that everything started going from formal to informal, even at the formal places. So I remember when I was working there, 95 to 99, everything was formal. Everything was dressed. It was never dressed down. That concept didn't exist. You're sitting an all-nighter at the printer, you're wearing your tie. That's how it was. But things changed pretty dramatically because of the dot-com boom and high-tech, and everything went casual thereafter. And that, along with the dressing down, went with the shaving or the lack of shaving, and now you can have earrings and whatever else you so desire. Yes?
Bear with me to this one, but how far can we stretch the incurring of financial loss? For example, let's say you're being supported by your parents and like a little bit shaky in the whole Judaism thing, you come back looking like a total schlub, and they're like, what are we supporting? You know, because let's say you're going to be holding them for 3 weeks, and they look and they're genuinely freaked out.
Yeah, I think they're going to be freaked out anyway. I don't think that the beard itself is going to cause too much of an additional freak. So I think we're talking in the business context, realistically. When it comes to parents, we can more easily explain to them that this is a temporary thing, that we're in avelus, mourning over the temple, one of the forms of avelus. As with a velus over a close relative, as we outwardly show that we are not focused on ourselves, but we are focused on something else that is more significant than our physical comfort. And I think they'll really understand that. I really do. Whether they do it themselves or not, that's their issue. But to show that we do care about our loss, just like we care about the loss of a loved one, I think if we bring it in that, and we couch it that way, which is 100% correct, these are both forms of avelus, they'll very much understand it. So I think we're limiting it to it is indeed limited to avelus. So just to bring out this point a little more, that oftentimes we do conjure up this concept that there's a loss and we're going to lose out because of not shaving, but we don't. So there's somebody who sent me an email. He happens to be a dentist in Los Angeles, and he said that each year, he was very nervous because he had a lot of clients, a lot of patients coming in, and he had a partner who was not religious, so he used to shave up until the 9 days. 9 days, he stopped. He said, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, there's no reason. You go up to the Shavuot Shechavo. He was a Ashkenazi. He would go up till the 9 days. And one time, his non-observant but Jewish partner was away for 2 weeks, and he came back from his vacation on Shiva Sarbatamus, the beginning of the 3 weeks. And he hadn't shaven in 2 weeks, the non-observant partner. And so the observant partner, we'll call him Michael, says to him, you know, he started thinking now, if he can do it, he's just coming in, he's going to shave tonight, but he's seeing patients here unshaven. Maybe I should just mention to him, you know, would you mind if I don't shave for the entire 3 week period? And the partner said, you know, sure, I'm not shaving today, I'm going to shave, but go ahead and don't shave for 3 weeks. And he explained to him why. So Michael went for the 3 weeks without shaving, and I'm quoting what he sent me. He said, despite my previous concern, I received much positive feedback from my staff and patients. In other words, they liked the beard, I guess. But then he said as follows, but some ask, why are you growing a beard? And he explained to them that we are in mourning over the loss of the temple. The first temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and this is a very sad period during the 3 weeks. And he said beautifully that as he was explaining that to them why he's not shaving, it definitely helped me keep the avelus of the period in mind. Very interesting. So just by people asking, it was reminding him about the avelus. So it really helped him set the tone. I'll just tell another story. There's somebody who is a professor of business at Harvard Business School, and he was teaching a class, an international class, for 150 professors. So 150 professors coming from all over the world during the 3 weeks. And he was a little bit nervous about coming in scruffy during the 3 weeks. You're representing Harvard, you're representing Klal Yisrael, you're wearing a yarmulke. And in addition, a very senior professor over him was going to be seeing him how he interacted and how he presented himself to 150 business school professors around the world. So he said, I was concerned about being scruffy. He debated internally whether he should shave or not. In the end of the day, he decided to not shave. So I'm going to read it as follows. When I walked into the first session, 150 business school professors, you're teaching them how to teach, and you're looking like a scruff. That senior professor was in charge of the whole program, walked over to me, and I could tell he was going to comment on the beard. Uh-oh, this is a problem, right? He's coming over, and this is the quote. This is what the senior professor said. It must be that time of the year. Felix, he's a non-Jewish professor, is also growing a beard. ready for class? Let's get going. So that was the comment. We're always nervous about what are they going to say, and meanwhile, okay, you're growing a beard, let's move on. Time to teach the class. Okay, so continuing in that vein, we've seen when it comes to Parnassa purposes, this is for Ashkenazim, because Sephardim are only makbid in the Shavuot Shacharbo. We saw the Shita of Rav Moshe that if we're going to incur a financial loss, we would indeed be permitted to shave up until Shavuot Shacharbo. I want to take one more approach at this. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, had a different approach, and this will give us, I think, a whole view and perspective of how to think about the 3 weeks, 9 days, Shavuot, Shacharbo, and Tisha B'Av. So he equates it to the Avelus over a parent. So we'll talk first about the Avelus over a parent. This is a very famous paradigm that Rav Soloveitchik said. He says, when it comes to the Avelus over a parent, that Avelus is parallel, but somewhat very different, opposite than the Avelus that we're about to go through in the 3 weeks. Soloveitchik explained as follows: when it comes to an Avelus over a parent, it's the most strict at the beginning, obviously. So somebody passed away. We start out with the Shiva. That's the most severe and the most restrictive that we have. And then it loosens up a little bit going into the Shloshim, the 30 days. It's really another 23 days or so, but we call it the Shloshim after the Shiva. Shiva 7 days, then the Shloshim, and then Yud Bet Chodesh is the balance of the year when we sit in Avelus over parents. So it goes in lessening degree of stringency. So there, when it comes to shaving, and we could extend this to many areas, but we're just going to relate it to taking haircuts and shaving. During Shiva over a relative, are we permitted to shave and take a haircut? No, you can't take. How about during Shloshim? Over a parent, for example, over a close relative, can you get a haircut or shave? No, you cannot. How about thereafter? So there's certain technicalities somebody has to tell you. You look like a mess and this and that. But Me'ikar Adin, as long as we fulfill the technicalities, it's permitted to take a haircut and shave after the Shloshim. Okay, so Shiva, we're Machmir. Shloshim, we're Machmir. Yud Beis Chodesh for the rest of the year, we're Mekel. Let's change the paradigm, and he equates it as follows. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, the Rav explains that our Tisha B'Av nowadays over the Beis HaMikdash, over both of the Batei Mikdash, is like the Shiva. Just like on Shiva, you can't take haircuts, you can't shave. So too, he says, Tisha B'Av, obviously, you can't take a shave, you can't take a haircut. And then he says, the Shloshim that we have over a parent, that equates to the 9 days for Ashkenazim and Shavua Shachalbo for Sfaradim. So just like during Shloshim, you're not allowed to get haircuts, you're not allowed to shave, so too Ashkenazim during the 9 days and Sfaradim during Shavua Shachalbo, you can't get haircuts and you can't shave. But based on that, it turns out that the 3 weeks outside of Shavua Shachalbo or the 9 days is like the Yud Beis Chodesh, the year over a parent, and accordingly, just like you can take a haircut and shave during the year after the Shloshim, so too, according to the Rav, even without a business financial loss, the Rav says that there's no prohibition taking shaves during the 3 weeks. So he says it's permitted up until the 9 days for Ashkenazim and Shavuot Shachalbo for Sfaradim. I just want to end off, because we're almost out of time, with a couple of additional stories. One, somebody sent me, he was a government attorney working with a law enforcement agency, and they had a big meeting, a very important meeting, and there were two from guys. They worked in similar roles, different departments. They were both going to be at this meeting, and it was a couple days before Tisha B'Av. So one of them was strict, both Ashkenazim, to not shave during the entire 3 weeks. One just for the 9 days wouldn't shave. So they're both in this, they're both looking scruffy. The meeting is approaching. They're a little bit nervous because it was a very high-level meeting. And Baruch Hashem, it was pushed off to a few days after Tisha B'Av. And in there, the most senior person, he was the head officer, the highest-ranking client on the project, he was speaking with a colleague, and he mentioned he really cannot stand facial hair. That was a comment. That just happened to be the comment that he was discussing. People have to be dressed. People have to be shaven. He's a very high level, whatever, with law enforcement agencies. So they're strict about that type of stuff. And the two of them look at each other clean shaven at this point, saying, Baruch Hashem, this meeting was pushed off. Because had we been sitting there during Shavua Shachalba during the 9 days, it would not have looked good. I just want to bring one more story that is a little bit unusual and surprising and amazing in light of how we're just having said that there's no heter to shave to take haircuts doing Shavua Shachalba and certainly on Tisha B'Av. So this is a famous story. It's brought in the biography of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And in there is a discussion of story about Rav Moshe Scherer. Rav Moshe Scherer was the head of the Agudas Yisrael, initially the Aguda in the United States and then the worldwide Aguda. And there was a certain time in the summer of 1961 that President Kennedy invited a number of Jewish leaders to explain to them why the U.S. had voted against Israel in a U.N. vote. Apparently it wasn't very pro-Israel, and he invited, I think it was 12 different leaders of the Jewish community. Rabbi Moshe Scherer was representing the Aguda. It just happened that that meeting, and this was Moshe Scherer's first meeting with the President of the United States. Thereafter, there were a number. He was a very well-connected man, but this was at the beginning. His first meeting with the President, a President of the United States, and it happened to be that meeting was on Tisha B'Av. So he turns to Rav Aaron Cutler, who is the Rosh Yeshiva, the founder and Rosh Yeshiva of the Lakewood Yeshiva, a brilliant Talmud Chacham. And Rabbi Scherer was constantly in touch with Rav Cutler about issues relating to Klal Yisrael. Then he asked him three questions. Question number one was, should he attend the meeting on Tisha B'Av? Can I go? It's Tisha B'Av. Question number two is, assuming I can attend, should I shave? How can I go to the President of the United States unshaven, and should I wear shoes? They didn't have the imitation leather back then in 1961. So can I wear normal shoes, or do I have to wear my Keds to meet with the President in the Oval Office? And the third question, very interesting, is do I say a bracha? There's a concept of saying a bracha, a blessing, when you see a non-Jewish king, also Jewish. So how about the President? Does he have that status? So Rav Aaron Cutler answered the first two questions. He says, you should attend, even though it's Tisha B'Av. And he says, you should shave. Shave on Tisha B'Av. And you should wear leather shoes. Just put sand in your shoes to make sure you're not comfortable. But he said you should shave. You should shave for this required meeting with the President of the United States. And he said when it comes to the first question, should you say a bracha? He says you need to ask Rav Moshe Feinstein that question. I don't want to pask in that one. You need to go to the Gadol Ador, the Posek Ador, go to Rav Moshe and ask that question. But we see here, when issues come up, ask a shaila. Who would have thought that he'd get a heter to shave? Now, none of us here are ever going to get a heter to shave on Tisha B'Av, Shavuot Shachalbo, highly unlikely, not going to happen. But we see here the importance of asking shaylas, not guessing, not assuming whether it's mutter or usher, but the importance of asking shaylas. So just to recap real quickly, we talked about the prohibition of taking haircuts and shaving during the 3 weeks. We've said that the minhag of Ashkenazim, the entire 3 weeks, we do not take haircuts, we do not shave. Svaradim, Shavua, Shechalbo. When questions come up in the workplace, if there's a hefset, if there's a real, going to be a hefset mamon, a loss based on Rav Moshe's psak, indeed we could be lenient and shave, even Ashkenazim, all the way up, but not inclusive of Shavua, Shechalbo. Have a good day.